The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 8, text number 16. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 26th, 2016, in Lanesha, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Abrahma Bhuvanat Loka Puna Avartina Arjuna Mam Upetya Tu Konteya Puna Janma Na Vinyate Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Arvartino Arjuna Mamupecha Tukonteya Punar Janmana Vidyate Abrahma Bhuvanat Up to the Brahma Loka planet Loka Planetary systems. Puna, again. Avartina, returning. Arjuna, O Arjuna, Mam, unto me. Upetya, arriving. To, but. Konteya, O son of Kunti. Puna. Janma, rebirth, na, never, vidyate, takes place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. From the highest planet in the material world, down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Purport. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher positions, people on higher planets such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka, and Indraloka fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandyoga Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse, Brahmana Saha Te sarve samprate prati sanchere padas yante kritat mana pravishanti padang padam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. So, what's the point? The point is this material world is a bad neighborhood. Doesn't matter where you go, it's a bad, bad, bad neighborhood. So why should we hanker to improve ourselves here in this material world? Whether you live in one side of a bad neighborhood or another side of a bad neighborhood, have you improved yourself? You want actual happiness, you've got to get out of the bad neighborhood. You have to get back to the original home of the living beings. You see, we're not actually citizens of this place. You see, whether it's JSA or USA, you see. This is not our home. We're residents of Krishna's abode. That's where you're actually, you're citizens actually of Krishna's abode. I don't care what passport you may carry. You're a citizen of Krishna's abode. That's where you actually are from. You're a Krishnite. Every one of you. We're all Krishnites. You see. So why should we foolishly misidentify with this rotten place? It's craziness. It's madness. It's insanity. That's why we have to hear from the scriptures. That's why we have to hear from a bona fide spiritual master. Because the knowledge they give us liberates us from this place. They not only tell us this is not your home, you're actually a resident of the spiritual world, they tell us how to get back to our original position. There's actually a way out. There's an escape route. You're not stuck here. If you take proper guidance, you are not stuck in this place. You can get out of here. That is the pathway of the great Mahajans. They are showing us the way out of this material world. By redeveloping your original loving sentiment for Krishna, you see? Actually, we're all pure devotees. It was just covered right now. That's confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You're actually a pure devotee. It's just covered, you see. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunai Shavanandi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udai. That means, actually, every living entity is constitutionally a pure devotee of Krishna. He's eternally liberated. But it's simply covered right now, that's all. But by the process known as Krishna Das Kaviraj says Shravanadi, and starting with hearing, that means hearing, etc. There's hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, see, becoming a devotee, the nine processes. But it begins with hearing, so he says Shravanadi. So if you take this pathway that starts with hearing, then actually you'll regain your original position. You get back to who you actually are. And you don't have to wait for death either. You can do it right here, right now. You can be a liberated soul right here, right now, simply by completely surrendering to Krishna. Then you realize this body you have is just a costume. Just like I feel like I'm a youth. I joined ISKCON when I was about 20, a young 20-year-old kid. I still feel like I'm a 20-year-old kid. I look in the mirror, what are all these wrinkles? You know, this is weird, you know. What are all these wrinkles doing on my face? I'm still a 20-year-old kid, you know. But actually, it's true. I'm actually not an old man. Every one of us are eternal youths. That's a fact. We're eternal youths. It's just a costume we're wearing. That's all. It's just your costume. And in the drama, you know, you ever played in a drama, you know, in Act 1 you're wearing a certain costume, in Act 2 you wear another costume, you see. And the drama's over, you leave all your costumes in the dressing room and you go home. So here we are, each lifetime is another play, another act in the drama, you see. In one lifetime you're a woman, another lifetime you're a man, one lifetime you're black, another lifetime you're white, you see. Just different costumes and different acts of the play, that's all. And when the whole thing is over, you leave all the costumes and go home, back to Krishna, you see. That's all. So you have to understand that these facts. This is not just some flowery words. I'm talking science here. What I'm talking about is absolutely true. Now there are people who say, you know, you can't really. But I don't believe in any absolutes. You know, they say they're called relativists. I don't believe that anything is absolutely true. You see. So you ask them, well, are you absolutely sure about that? And they are defeated immediately. The illogical nature of denying the absolute proves there must be an absolute. So how do you find out the absolute? Well, how do you find out who your father is? You ask your mom, isn't it? Your mom can tell you who dad is. So in the same way, you simply have to find someone who knows what is the absolute truth. That person can then enlighten you in what is the absolute truth. So who is that person? That's called the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master knows what is the absolute truth because he's heard it from his spiritual master, heard it from his spiritual master all the way up to Brahmaji, who heard it from Krishna. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kaviye. The beginning of the universe, Krishna revealed to Brahma what is the absolute truth. Brahma revealed it to Narada, who revealed it to Vyasadeva, who revealed it to Madhvacharya. It's come down through Ishvarapuri, Madhavanapuri, Ishvarapuri, Lord Chaitanya, the Goswamis, down to Naratam, Vishwanath, Bhaktivinod, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Gorkhasurdas Babaji, His Divine Grace A.C., Bhaktivinoda Swami, and now we are presenting the same knowledge, you see. We're just messenger boys of Krishna. Postal peons, Prabhupada. Just deliver the letter, you see. To be a spiritual master is not difficult. You just have to be an honest postal worker. Doesn't open the envelope and tamper with the message. It's very simple to be a bona fide spiritual master. You just have to take the message and present it as it is. You don't add to it, you don't subtract from it. That's all. And because the message is non-different from Krishna, you see, Krishna and the teachings of Krishna are one and the same. When you contact the teachings of Krishna being purely presented, now you are in direct contact with Krishna, just as good as if you're there in Goloka Vrindavan, sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, sharing a glob. You and Krishna are both popping glob jamuns in your mouth, sitting on the bank of the Jamuna. To hear the teachings of Krishna from someone who is purely presenting it, imparampara, is non-different from being there, right, sitting with Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna in Goloka Vrindavan. We have a saying called sitting pretty. You're sitting pretty, you think. If you're hearing the knowledge of Krishna coming in an unbroken line of succession, you're sitting in the Bhagavad Gita lecture is not different from sitting with Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna River in Goloka Vrindavan. It's just a matter of realization. You see. We don't realize it, that's all. We think, oh yeah, here I am Sunday, you know, it's 10:11:20 and in Asia, South Africa, and I got to go to work tomorrow morning, and this and that, and this and that, you know. It's just a matter of realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day, while engaged in household activities, I saw my house transform into Goloka Vrindavan. Do you think he was pretty Krishna conscious when that happened? Sure. So all you have to do to enter into the spiritual atmosphere, to where you actually experience Krishna directly, is to be Krishna conscious. Be in a humble mood that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and all I have to do is just be who I am. All we're really saying is, just be who you are, people. Don't try to be something different than what you are. It's so easy to be happy. We are miserable because we're trying to be that which we're not. I'm trying to be this body. I'm trying to be a guy or a girl or this or that. You see, I'm trying to be this or that. Don't try to be your body. You can't be your body. It's not possible. Because you're not that body. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. So if you will take this mood very seriously, that now I must fully dovetail every thought, every word, every deed in all times, places, and circumstances to be totally, completely pleasing to my spiritual master and to Lord Sri Krishna. If you take up that mood, You're as good as in Goloka Vrindavan right now. So what are we waiting for, people? My dear Prabhus and Matajis, what are we waiting for? Why are we holding on to this, the material, this material nature, you see? Well, Prabhu, I really can't advance because, you know, Maya's got me in her grip, you know. I really can't make any advance. Maya's got me in her grip. What can I do? I'm helpless. Maya's got me in her grip. So the disciple told the spiritual master, you know what the Guru Maharaj did? He went over a tree and embraced the tree. He said, let go of me. So it's not that Maya has you in her grip. You're holding on to Maya very tightly, rascal. You see? We have to stop. We have to let go of Maya. We're holding on, my dear Maya Devi. You see? We have to let go. You see? Actually, Maya Devi is a pure devotee. She's only doing it as a duty. It's like the warden of the prison is a loyal citizen of the state. He's not some demon. He's a loyal citizen of the state, but it is his duty to keep the criminals behind bars. So it's Maya's duty to keep those who want to be in illusion, to keep them totally caught up in illusion. That's her duty. But she's actually a pure devotee of Krishna. When you become... Maya will actually help you in your service to Krishna when you become very serious about devotional service. She'll no longer be an impediment. She will actually assist you in your service to Krishna when you become very serious about pure devotional service. So, you see, here we are struggling neophytes back and forth between material consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? So, we just have to be very serious now. And they get off the Kanishta platform. Kanishta Adhikari is a materialistic devotee. Unfortunately, that's where we are a lot of the times. We're materialistic devotees, you know. We're thinking about Krishna consciousness a little bit, and then our sense gratification, a little sense gratification of Krishna, you know, back and forth like a windshield wiper in the car, you know. Boom, boom. Krishna Maya, Krishna Maya, Krishna. It's time to turn off the windshield wiper and get really serious about becoming a pure devotee, you see. Papa gave me some direct instructions. He told me, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Direct order from Prabhupada to me. So how can I do that? Here I am, you know, on the platform of material sense gratification. How can I actually do that? Well, I have to become a pure devotee, you see. If you get out of this Maya thing and thinking I'm the Lord of all I survey and who are you to tell me anything, kind of attitude, you know, that we tend to have here in the material world, I have to get out of that, kick it out, and become serious. Because Prabhupada told me that Krishna revealed himself to me. I'd really like to come to that platform that Prabhupada told me I could come to. So in this way, try to understand that you must become very serious. You need to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. According to Prabhupada's teachings, without a guru, you can't go back to Godhead. You have to take shelter of one of our guru, formalize that shelter by initiation, and then be completely, totally obedient to your spiritual master in all times, places, and circumstances, even with your thoughts. You see? Do you think you can get away with thinking about nonsense? Think again. Prabhupada said Krishna has a book. He's noting, Yamaraj also has a book. They're both keeping records of everything that you do, everything you say, and everything you think. So, you know, you're being observed. So, you're being monitored by our authorities at every minute. So, be serious about cleaning the inside, you see. The lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy. Be really serious about cleaning house. Actually, it's ecstatic when you say, okay, now I embrace pure devotional service. I'm kicking out. Mr. Lust, get out. Mr. Anger, you're finished. Mr. Greed, Mr. Everything, get out of here. Just leave me alone. Mr. Envy, our relationship is finished. You see, take this very aggressive attitude to clean all the crud out of your heart, and you'll be amazed and how your days become mystical Every day becomes a mystical experience. And you're really serious about pure devotional service. No more ordinary humdrum life. Now it's an exciting mystical adventure, you see. A journey into higher realms of consciousness. Every day, a higher realm, a higher realm, a higher realm. So now I can ask you this in questions. I see there's one here. What's my time limit? It's 11:30.
12.
12, okay. If everyone feel free to write questions and pass them forward. I love questions. I thrive on them, actually. It's like a Sunday love feast for me. So please send me many questions. If we are preaching to new people, is it okay to subtract some information in order not to frighten them away and gradually introduce them to the other aspects of the movement? Actually, Prabhupada told like that. As in one nice letter, he said, engage them in doing what they like to do for Krishna. So you can, but at the same time, you shouldn't be dishonest. Just like it said, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. That means everybody's welcome to come. Doesn't matter how sinful you are, you can be Jagaya or Madaya, that's okay. Everyone can come and chant and dance with us, you see. The whole world is welcome. But then to become serious about pure devotion, then you have to learn all those 10 offenses, you see. Sometimes the devotee is confused. How you can say there's no hard and fast rules and at the same time there's 10 offenses? It seems contradictory, someone may say. But it's not. Just like in the game, like in America, there's a popular sport called baseball, you see. And everybody plays baseball. But you don't have to be an expert baseball player to play. You just get out there and do whatever you can. And it's a sport that the kids enjoy. Of course, the devotees aren't interested in baseball. But I mean, karmis, they very much like baseball. But so anybody can get out there and play baseball without any kind of qualification. But to play in the major leagues, you've got to be super expert, you see. So anybody can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone's come and chant and dance, engage in devotional service. But if you say, well, this is really wonderful, I like to perfect this, then we'll say, okay, now here's what you have to do. Here's the 10 offenses, you see. You have to give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling. So let everyone come and relish the nectar of Krishna's name. Let everyone come and enjoy Krishna Prasadam. Enjoy the friendly, loving relationships with the devotees. Let everyone come. But if they say, this is really wonderful, I heard you can actually become so pure that you can directly see God face to face. How do you do it? Then you tell them, you see. So yes, you can gradually introduce it. There's no harm. But don't be dishonest. Should be more questions now. More questions. How many days was Kurukshetra battle? That was 18 days. These are technical questions. I'm not so interested. How many horses? Oh, there was 4 horses on the chariot. And somebody said, what are their names? You know, Megapushpa, etc. Saibya. But it's not that important. I mean, it's interesting. You can read it in the Krishna book. What makes you always keep your vows? These are the kind of questions, the philosophical questions about how to practice and perfect Krishna consciousness. What inspires a devotee to keep their vows? That's their love for their spiritual master. Because if you break your vows, your spiritual master has to suffer. Prabhupada said, I'm giving initiation to so many people, I'm prepared to go to hell for Lord Chaitanya. What does that mean? That means the spiritual master suffers when he gives initiation and the disciples do not keep their vows. The spiritual master, Papa said, has to go to hell. So, you know, at least so your spiritual master doesn't go to hell, at least for that, for no other reason, because you appreciate your Guru Maharaj's kindness. You should be kind upon him. You've taken a vow, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You should keep your vow. That's one side of it. The other side is this is how you become perfect. This is how you become qualified to revive your original identity in Krishna's pastimes. You can't do it by breaking your vows. Breaking your vows means you'll stay in the cycle of birth and death. You will remain in karma chakra for millions and billions of births until you can actually perfect your following the vows. Now, the vows is only a temporary position, because once you get to the spontaneous platform, you don't have to think, well, I have to follow these rules. No, you don't even think that anymore. You're spontaneously doing it. The beginning, just like one is expected to rise early for Mangal Arati every day, Prabhupada explains, you see. That means either at home or at the temple, everyone should have Mangal Arati, you see. So, in the beginning, I don't feel like getting up in the morning. But you do it on the order of the spiritual master. But then by doing that, you go, wow, this isn't so bad after all. It's really a wonderful mystical time of the day. Brahma Muhurta. It's very mystical. I can see why the birds get up early, you see. I'm going to get up before the birds and relish Krishna's name. You see, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you know that prayer we sing, Mangalarti, Samsa Gravastakam. 8 prayers glorifying the spiritual master. The 9th prayer says that anyone who chants these 8 prayers during the Brahma Muhurta achieves the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan at the time of death. How would you like to go to sleep and wake up with Krishna? Would you like that? But instead of waking up, you know, in Johannesburg or Lanesia, wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. How would you like them? You see? So, keep your vows. Follow the order of the spiritual master. By following these instructions, then magic happens. You actually become reawakened in your eternal relationship with Krishna. You actually get free of all this crud in the heart. So, don't take these vows in very lightly, Jidavrata, you see, one who is very dedicated to his vows. Who is famous as Jidavrata? Bhishma Dev, you see. You know the story? His father wanted to marry some girl, and of course, you see, in Vedic times, the kings can marry more than one wife, so he was a young girl, he wanted to marry this young girl. And of course, as the king, he could do that. It's his right. But still, there's an etiquette only with a parent's permission, you see. So he followed the etiquette, even though he was the king and the absolute ruler. But still, the father's word had to be, father had to approve. No, you cannot marry my daughter, you see. She said, she was thinking, well, you already have this son, and my daughter's son will just be a servant. He won't have any position. Because your son will become king. Your son, Bhishma, he will become king. And my daughter's son will not. So he said, no. He said that, how did he say that? He said, no. Bhishma said, I will not become the king. Yes. Bhishma said, no, I will not take the position of king. So you can marry, you can let your daughter marry my father, because I will not become the king. But then the father said, no, but your son will become king. He said, then I will not marry. Is that all right? So he took the vow. Prabhupada said, for his father's sex life, he gave up his own. He was so dedicated to his father. For his father's sense pleasure, he gave up his own sense pleasure, you see. And in those days, they had great powers. They could give benedictions. Nowadays, we don't have such powers in this age. But the father gave him benediction. Unless you want to die, you will never die. You will live forever. You only die when you want to die, you see. So therefore, even though Bhishma was filled with hundreds and hundreds of arrows, he didn't kill him. He died when he chose to die, because he had that benediction from his father. So just see the power of vows, you see. He took a vow, I will never marry. And just see, he achieved a boon that he would not die unless he wanted to die. So just understand the great power of vows. There's a great power, and when you take a vow and you keep it, But if you break it, it's the most foolish thing. But when you take that vow, especially your initiation vows, there's no question of ever breaking them. 16 rounds every day. Even if you have can't, if you say, "Well, I'm too busy today, I can't," then you have enough time to eat it. Why don't you feed your soul first and your body second, you see? Or you can make them up the next day, Prabhupada said. It can be done in extreme circumstances. But we have to take these vows as the most serious thing, because otherwise we're nowhere spiritually, nowhere at all. Give the microphone to my wife. By the way, if you have any questions for my wife, she's on. There's more questions, she can answer some too. This mic is active. It's not working. Okay, go ahead. Speak up so they can all hear.
I was just saying that we are nowhere if we break our vows, that we are not even on a human level.
That's right. Ask a dog to keep a vow. Not possible. Dog don't, vow doesn't mean anything to a dog. You see. Vow means human life. If you don't, so my wife's point is this: if you don't keep your vow, you're an animal. That's all. You're not a human being. If you're a human being, you give your word, you'll keep your word. If you vow to chant 16 rounds, you'll do. Otherwise, you're not even a human being. You see. So try to understand how important it is to keep your vows. That's what distinguishes you from animal life. A man who can give his word and keep, or a woman who can give the word and keep the word, that's what makes you a human being. Please enlighten more on who Sridhar Swami is. I'm not an expert on Sridhar Swami. He is one of the great Vaishnava Acharyas, but the one I like is, the one I know better is our ISKCON Sridhar Swami. He's on the Jolly Swami. I can talk about him a little bit. He was such an amazing sannyasi, Sridhar Swami. I was at the New York Rath Yatra. Just kind of, I don't know, I must have been kind of spaced out or something. But he saw me and he gave me a twirl. He like grabbed me and he twirled me with him. He grabbed me to his body and twirled with me right in the middle of Fifth Avenue. So I never forgot Sridhar Swami. He's a very, very wonderful, enlivening devotee. These other Sridhar Swami, I don't know anything. He does quite a lot, but I just know our ISKCON Sridhar Swami. He's now departed, but he's one of the great, great heroes of our movement. He gave a little story, a little recollection. When he went for initiation, he was there in Los Angeles. He was there bowing down at Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada was talking to him, but he was so nervous, he was just, "Namo Om Vishnu Padaya." And then somebody tapped him and said, "Prabhupada's talking to you." And he wouldn't acknowledge it. He was just so nervous, you know, being in front of Prabhupada. "Prabhupada's talking to you. Okay, what are you doing, Prabhu? Get up. Prabhupada's talking to you." And Prabhupada said, "So, you are a brahmachari?" And he was thinking, "Prabhupada has blessed me to be a brahmachari," you see. He took it like that. This that Prabhupada said, "So, you are a brahmachari?" He said, "Oh, Prabhupada has blessed me to stay Brahman." He took it that way, and he kept it that way. He made a very good brahmachari. But he was so humble, he told the story, and then he said, "And here I am, still struggling." You see? He's a successful brahmachari, and then sannyasi, powerful leader, a spiritual master, in a big position. But he said, "Here I am," humbly said, "Here I am, still struggling." You see? So I understood, because of that humility, not that here I am a great advanced devotee. No, here I am struggling to be a devotee. Because he had that humble mood, that made him strong. So this is a great lesson we've learned from our ISKCON Sridhar Swami. Never think you're a big advanced Paramahamsa. You see? And the more you can think, "Oh, here I am, I'm just a struggling neophyte trying to remember Krishna." That's how you become a Paramahamsa. You see? Not by thinking, "Yes, now I am Paramahamsa." I even knew one brahmachari. He said, I never forgot this, he said, "They just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari." I couldn't believe it. And within a few months, he had left ISKCON. He was gone. He never came back. He made a very flashy cassette tape. It was like rock and roll combined with Indian music. It was very flashy, but he was gone, finished. Okay, the questions are rolling in a little bit more now. You want to do some? Okay. What proof, Hare Krishna, what proof is there that if we chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, we return back to home, back to God? That's a simple one. Just do it and see the result. Test it out. You say, well, Prabhupada, is Prabhupada legit or not? Let me try it out. Make an experiment. Do you like to gamble? Anyone here buy a lottery ticket before? Anybody like to gamble? Well, try this gamble. Chant Hare Krishna at the time of death and see what happens. You're willing to put some money down for a lottery ticket? Well, put down a few vibrations out of your tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And see if you win the lottery or not. If you end up in Goloka Vrindavan, just check it out. But I mean, it doesn't work. You can say, oh, I knew this Hare Krishna was a bunch of hype. And you can be just a karmi in your next life, you see. But just try giving one life to be a devotee of Krishna. If you're a little unsure, just gamble on it. Gamble one life to be a devotee of Krishna and see the result is. If you don't like it, you can come back and be whatever you want. Be a woman hunter, a drunkard, an alcoholic, a murderer, whatever you like to do, you see. But just try one life being a pure devotee of Krishna and see the result. And I guarantee you, you'll be glad you did. Because we'll all be together in Goloka Vrindavan, remembering those days when we were ISKCON devotees struggling to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Okay. You speak about seeing the Lord face to face. Is this experienced in the material or spiritual world? Both. A spiritually realized devotee can see Krishna face to face even here. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu valoka yanti yangshama shundaram achyantyoganas varupam govindamadipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primary Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. This applies both in the material world and the spiritual world. Please explain, in the material world, has Maharaj seen Krishna? I just did. Sishi Garnitai Ki Jai. Okay, please explain, if one's spiritual master has passed away, left this world, how does one get initiation? Well, you can't. You have to take it from someone else. You can. That's a fact. It's a law that your spiritual, you can only take initiation from a living spiritual master. So if you have a sentiment for a particular guru, you couldn't get initiated by him. And you find another initiating guru who also has a great appreciation for that person you wanted to be initiated by. So in that way, you can feel a connection through that hint. See what I'm saying? Let's say so-and-so Maharaj, you wanted to be his disciple, but then he left the world. So you find a spiritual master who's present on this planet who also very much appreciates and adores that particular guru Maharaj. And then that will help. That will be... That way you can feel satisfied that you and your actual Guru Maharaj will both appreciate that devotee together. So you should then accept another, you should ask for shelter and initiation from another spiritual master who's living. That's the system. What should one's focus one's eyes on while chanting? I remember when I was a brand new devotee, I was visiting the LA temple. Prabhupada was there. It was very exciting because Prabhupada was actually there in the temple, upstairs in his room. And there was devotees from all over the country. You can imagine how exciting it was, Prabhupada, to come down for the Bhagavatam class. But I remember I was walking down the hall and There was some devotee, Prabhupada chastised him for staring at a picture of Krishna while he was chanting his japa. It must have been like this, you know, like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That kind of, now that kind of a staring isn't good. Where you're just totally engrossed in the picture, not even listening, not even focused on the mantra. That would not be correct. But if you're focused on the mantra and you're also looking at a picture, that's okay. The prime focus has to be on the name. Don't put your prime focus on the picture and pay scant attention to the name. That would not be proper. But if, as long as your focus is on the name, you have to look at something. Otherwise, if you close your eyes, you're going to fall asleep. So you can look at the deity, you can look at a photograph, but that should be a secondary concentration. Your prime focus should be on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now you don't have to look at a picture. Just like my wife and I, we rise early in the morning, like 2:30. We may sit even in a dark room and chant, you see. Okay, with our eyes open and chant our japa without even really looking at anything, but just keeping the eyes open. So you don't have to look at a picture. You could, but it has to be a secondary focus. Please explain Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's connection to the Six Goswamis. He's totally dedicated to them. I struggle to rise early for Mangal Arati due to the few hours of sleep that I get. My daily schedule, work, maintaining myself, etc., makes it difficult for me. Please give me advice. Is 5 a.m. okay? Well, there are extenuating circumstances. I'd have to really, if you really want a full answer, you have to give me your whole schedule, Prabhu. Give me your whole schedule on a piece of paper. I know one disciple, he said, Gurudev, I don't have any time to read. I'm really frustrated. So I said, send me your schedule. Actually, he had tons of time to read. As soon as he sent me the schedule, he was defeated. Let me see your full schedule, Prabhu. You know, what you're doing at each hour of the day. Then we'll really see how true this is. It could be. I'm not saying it is. It's not true, but it could be you're not managing your time well enough. You know, staying up late, doing something you don't really need to do. You could go to bed early. Or it may be true. I'm just saying, even if it is true, then you could, 5 a.m. is not, what time is the sunrise this morning? Anybody have a what time is sunrise?
6:30.
Well, then 5 o'clock would be okay at home.
It's winter, that's why it's 6:30.
Huh?
It's winter, so that's why it is 6:30.
Yeah. So the Brahma Maharaja is an hour and a half before sunrise. So if the sun rises at 6:30, you're up at 5, then that's okay. But ideally, you should be showered by 5 and ready to have Mangal Arati. That can be done. Because there are extenuating circumstances. I was with Srila Prabhupada. I had the good fortune of being with His Divine Grace back in 1972 in Pittsburgh. And we had a wonderful thing called it was actually a rock opera. It was a very professionally produced rock opera. Shishi Garnitai Ki Jaya. And it was Vishnu John Swami was the star, and he played himself in the drama. It was a story of a hippie who became a devotee. It was quite a nice drama, and we would do it in the universities would pay money. They would pay a big sum of money. We would come and put on the rock opera on the campus. All the students would come. There'd be kirtan, prasadam, and the whole story of how a hippie became a devotee. It was quite, it had, you know, with rock and roll and dancers. It was quite a production. And so Prabhupada actually came and attended it in Pittsburgh, and he really liked it. Now, when I first joined ISKCON, no one ever applauded. You see, that was only karmis do. Devotees never applauded. We'd go ki jai, but we'd never applaud, because only karmis applaud. But the first devotee I heard applaud was Prabhupada at that rock opera. But after each song, Prabhupada clapped his hands and applauded. And no devotees did it. Because those days, only karmis applaud, you see. But Prabhupada applauded, clapped after each song. I was one of the singers and dancers up on the stage, and Prabhupada was clapping. I felt good. Prabhupada was clapping for my singing and dancing. But anyway, we were up. The point is, we had the deities. The deities were the stars of the show. We had Radha and Damodar up on the stage, and they had to stay up late. You see, the deities were up late. So Prabhupada said the deities can wake up 6 hours after they take rest. And then you can have Mangalarti at that time. So we had a special concession for Prabhupada because of the rock opera that we could have whatever time the deities took rest, the deities can get up 6 hours. If the deities go to bed by midnight, because the time you put up, you know, everything is done and you put them to rest, it could be 11 o'clock. Whatever it was, Prabhupada said we could wake the deities 6 hours after we put them to rest in the evening. So there are sometimes flexibilities, but you really should be dedicated to rising early. I've been attending Mangalarti for 45 years, and you know, either live in a temple or at home, and always Mangalarti. I guarantee you, if you're dedicated to this principle of Mangalarti, as one godbrother said, observe Mangalarti and you have a magic day. So try it. Test it. See if you can agree. Try having Mangalarti every day and see what it does for your life, how it improves your japa, how it improves your comprehension of our philosophy, how it improves your demeanor, and how it helps you to soften your heart to glorify the spiritual master with the eight prayers every morning. It's amazing the power it has. Looks like the questions have run out. We have 5 minutes. So anything else? Questions? So if there's no questions, then we have to understand what is the ultimate answer for all questions. Krishna consciousness. There's many questions in the world, but any question which is actually not aimed at realizing the absolute truth is more or less a waste of time. Of course, we have to do things to keep body and soul together, and that's okay. But that should be minimized. The focus of our energy should be, how can I awaken my dormant Krishna consciousness? That has to be the burning desire in our hearts at every minute. How can I get out of this quagmire of trying to enjoy this false sense of identity that I've been stuck with, called the ahankar, for millions of lifetimes due to my foolishness, you see? How can I get out of this crazy quagmire where I strut around like I'm some, you know, big, big, important character, but realize I'm just a nonsense, you see? I need to realize I'm a nonsense. That's the most important thing. Therefore, Prabhupada said, the devotee who is more chastised, he is advanced. So the more you can actually be corrected for your nonsense, that's very good. So I remember we heard one class in Juhu Temple, ISKCON Juhu in Mumbai. The devotee said, if there's someone who criticizes you, you should move in with them, because that's what you need. You see, you need somebody who can point out your faults. That's where you should get your... That's that kind of association you should be going after. Not someone who glorifies you, you see. Oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful. You need to find those who point out your faults, because they can help you to make very solid, tangible spiritual advancement every day. Because the fact is, we're full of faults, isn't it? Do we have any pure devotees here who are free from the faults? No. We're all full of faults, you see. So the more we can associate with devotees who honestly and compassionately point out our faults to us, that's the best thing, best association we can have. That's the duty of the spiritual master. The spiritual master only flatters his disciples, he's the enemy of his disciples. But the spiritual master who's chastising his disciples, he is the true friend. Another one coming? Okay. Another question. In the grihastha ashram, is it best for the husband and wife to take rest in separate rooms in order to avoid the possibility of union without the intention to procreate? Absolutely. And the Prabhupada explains in his purport, in his books, how 50 years ago, this would be like 80 years ago now, and the system in Bengal was, in the house, there would be the inner quarters and the outer quarters. The women would stay in the inner quarters, and the men would stay in the, they would sleep in the outer quarters, you see. If a man and wife sleep in the same bed, they might have illicit sex. So you may say, well, they're married, so it's really okay. But no, it's not okay. It's not okay. Sex is only for procreation. It's not for recreation. Any sex which is outside of procreational purposes is binding you to this material existence. The fact is that Hare Krishna is better than sex. If you actually learn how to chant without offense, you will get more pleasure out of chanting your japa than you'll be having sex. That's how powerful the Hare Krishna chanting is. Sex is the most powerful force in this material world. Everyone from the highest planets to the lowest planets is running after sex, but someone who has actually awakened their Krishna consciousness, he spits at the thought of sex pleasure, unless it's being used for procreation. Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadam unyanyasam tumasit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukushushti vanamcha. These are the words quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita purport of the great saint Jamunacharya, who was formerly a king with so many sex pleasures in his harem. Is he? But now he's become a devotee. He's given up all of that. He says that ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, relishing newer and newer pleasure, that's in Sanskrit, nava, nava, rasa. Tasting nava, nava, rasa, or newer, newer pleasures in the holy name of Krishna. Whenever the thought of sex pleasure enters into my brain, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. As Prabhupada told us on the beach, Venice Beach in Los Angeles, he said, the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. Actually grotesque, if you think about it. The actual spirit soul within, who is meant to be fully absorbed in hearing and chanting of the Lord 24 hours a day, to be carried away with the desire for sex pleasure is the most disgusting, grotesque abomination. So one should protect himself. One should never have... My wife and I, we're totally brahmacharis, because we never want to have any kids. We're perfect brahmacharis the whole marriage. Pukka brahmacharis the whole life, you see. There's never any thought, no thought of sex life, you see. We are preaching partners. Actually, that's, instead of having sex, of course, we encourage householders who want to have kids. It's very good. But we chose not to have kids. We're thinking, well, you know, my vision is, instead of having sex and having two or three kids, why not go out and preach and have 2,000 or 3,000 kids, you see? Or 20,000 or 30,000 kids. You see what I'm saying? Right now I have maybe 200 or 300 disciples, you see. That's, so preaching is the greater sex life. You see? By sex you can have 1 or 2 kids. By preaching you can have millions of children. Actually, it's stated that one pure devotee can liberate the whole world, you see. What is that shloka? That's a very nice shloka. Shuddha prema sukha sindhu pai tara eka bindu se bindu jagat dubaya. Pure love of God is an ocean of bliss. If anybody can get a taste of even one drop of that ocean, with that one drop, the whole universe can be inundated. So that, talk about powerful, you know. One drop of pure love of God is so potent. If a devotee can get even one drop of pure love of God, with that one drop, he can make the whole universe Krishna conscious. Jagat, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, Jagat Dubaya. That means the whole universe can become drowned. So That's more powerful than having, you know, sex. To be able to inundate the whole universe with Krishna consciousness, you see. So in this way, sex for procreation, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, I'm willing to have I would be willing to have sex 100 times if I could produce Krishna conscious children. Even though he was a Naishtika Brahmachari, he glorified Krishna conscious sex life. Actually, it's a holy sacrament. What you do is you get your Guru Maharaj's permission. Guru Maharaj, we'd like to have a child. Is that okay? Do we have your blessings? And he says, yes, I give my blessings. Then on just after the menstrual cycle, when the lady is most likely to conceive, then you both chant 50 rounds of japa. Not 50, but 50 rounds of japa. Once in a month. That's Prabhupada's instructions. I remember one house order couple, they were following that system. And the next morning the husband and wife came, with a big smile on his face, he said, Sankarshan Prabhu, I just wanted to share with you. I was a brahmachari at the time. I just wanted to share something with you. He said, last night, my wife and I, we both chanted 50 rounds of japa, to try to have a Krishna conscious kid. But after those 50 rounds, we were thinking, this chanting is so ecstatic. Let's wait till next month before we have sex. They got more pleasure from the 50 rounds than they did from having sex. We'll wait till next month. We don't want to come down to the bodily platform. We're flying high in the mantra. Why come down to the bodily platform? That was a fact. They told me. The husband and wife were there. They came. He told me directly in our Miami temple. I remember the yard of our Miami temple. He told me. It seems to be difficult, otherwise, despite following a strict Krishna conscious regimen. Yeah, definitely a different room is a good idea. Definitely a good idea. Is the other side also questions? No, okay. Yeah, my wife and I, we have separate rooms, and sometimes we have to stay in hotels. We're traveling and preaching. But we'll never get a double bed, never. It has to be always two single beds, absolutely. It has to be two single beds. We'll never get one, never, never. Absolutely not. It's absolutely out of the question. One of us will sleep on the floor or the couch. if that comes to that. Never in the same bed. Absolutely never. Not in our whole lives. You see? Because we're not interested in that kind of nonsense. We're interested in Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, now our time is up. And we thank you all so much. You've been so attentive. And you've asked such wonderful questions. Now, please take this very seriously. I want all of you to become pure devotees. Become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness so that when you leave your body, you will all go back to Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.